Hi, Amanda Vanstone here. Clearly, you're a master of the download facility. So you must understand that you could also download my program. It's called Counterpoint. And if you do, you'll get to hear some interesting people and some different points of view. So go on, do it once. You probably won't regret it.
We are still seeing on a regular basis members either behaving in a criminal matter, members being very naive, or members being very stupid when it comes to bikies. You can write all the policy and legislation you like, but unless our members use their common sense to say this is inappropriate, it becomes problematic for us.
That's a quite extraordinary omission, and it came earlier today on ABC local radio in Melbourne from Victoria's Chief Commissioner of Police, Ken Lay. He's announced a special task force to investigate links between police and outlaw bikie gangs. Police believe that gangs are building relationships with officers. They're doing it in gymnasiums and tattoo parlours. And they're doing it through common interests, for example, in motorbikes. Ken Lay, the Chief Commissioner of Victoria Police, joins me now. Thank you very much for your time.
Hi, Wally.
Might begin by, I mean, given those extraordinary comments you've made, asking whether or not this is actually a failure of recruitment policy. If you're recruiting people that are pretty much stupid, is that the beginning?
Look, Waleed, we're seeing with a very small number of our members, relationships with bikies starting to occur. And some of those are based on criminality, but others, sometimes you just shake your head. But I do need to make the point that an organisation, we're nearly 17,000 strong, there's a very small group of people that we just need to weed out and address the issue.
But my question is why they're there in the first place. Because it sounds like it's not just a failure of protocols or routines. You yourself have said you can put all as many as you want around, it's not going to solve the problem. It's a failure of character.
Look, I think over Victoria Police's history, over any police jurisdiction's history, from time to time you'll see people have let the organisation down, and we're seeing that with a small number of our members at the moment. So the purpose of my comments today, the discussion that's been in the media, is to actually put it out there to my organisation that this is a risk. They need to be very, very careful if they come across anyone associated with outlaw motorcycle gangs. The biggest risk for us is not now. Our biggest risk is if people do get compromised and they're still in the organisation in 5 or 10 years' time, when they can do some real damage.
How high up the chain does it go?
Look, we're not seeing any evidence that it's systemic through Victoria Police. As I say, I think it's what is an emerging issue at the moment. If you go back 5 or 6 years, Waleed, when we had the underworld killings, we did see a number of police who were severely compromised and had been for a number of years. What I'm concerned about is if we don't get this emerging issue right now with the bikies, we may well find ourselves in a similar position in another 10 years' time. So we're trying to get on the front foot. We're trying to make sure that every one of our members understands the risks and takes appropriate precautions to make sure they don't become compromised.
Are they being compromised, though, just because they don't know how to take precautions, or are they crooked?
Look, I think there's a little bit of both. Again, the numbers are very small, but in the last 12 months, we've had two members that we've had concerns about their ethics, obviously, and one's been charged criminally and convicted. But there's other examples of where you see the behaviour and see the type of contact, and you just shake your head about, you know, how could our members possibly have thought that sort of behaviour was appropriate.
This is a national issue. The federal government has made that point. They've asked the states to refer powers to them, for example, because they think that you can't tackle this simply by having state-based law enforcement on this. If you're having this problem in Victoria, presumably other people are around the country. Other police forces are being infiltrated in a similar way.
Yeah, well, Ed, I had a conversation with the commissioners from all around Australia late last week and briefed them on this very issue about the problems that we were having. And I would be very surprised if other jurisdictions weren't in a similar position.
Did any of them talk to you about their position and whether or not they were facing this?
There was some jurisdictions that aware of some relationship issues that were problematic for them. There's no doubt about that.
Similar to the ones you're facing?
Yeah. Look, it's a natural progression of organised crime, unfortunately, where outlaw motorcycle gangs are now becoming quite sophisticated. They're quite good at infiltrating areas like the transport industry, debt collection industry, liquor industry, security, tattoo parlours, and police are another part of that, where they're trying very, very, very hard to get their tentacles into our organisation for obvious reasons.
Are they just smarter than the cops that you've got looking at this?
Look, I suspect not, Waleed. We're having some significant success disrupting a whole host of outlaw motorcycle gang behaviour at the moment, but I'm not naive to think enough to think that if we don't watch this, if we don't watch it carefully, if we don't invest in it, if we're not aggressive with it, we may well have a far more significant problem than we've got at the moment.
You mentioned you spoke to other commissioners who've admitted they've got a similar problem that they're facing. How many states are we talking about?
Look, I'd prefer those jurisdictions to raise the issues publicly rather than me making comment.
You don't have to name them, yeah, but just the scale of the problem.
Look, there were certainly two other jurisdictions that relayed stories to me about similar problems where there were some undesirable connections.
I'm speaking with Victoria's Chief Commissioner of Police, Ken Lay, who's identifying that this is a national problem, the infiltration of bikie gangs into police forces, it seems. You can't do this with regulations and protocols. You've kind of admitted that.
Well, you can. That sets the standard. But I guess my call was to my people to say that it doesn't matter the policies and legislation you put in place. Every now and again, you need to revert back to common sense and say, hey, is this sensible? Does this put me at risk? Does it put my colleagues at risk? Does it put the community at risk? And
but you're looking for conflicts of interest, aren't you? I mean, this is the thing. You get absolutely given favours.
Yeah, there's a bit of that. And, you know, we're seeing some stuff around gentlemen's clubs in Melbourne, where some of our police members have been gaining access because they're police members.
Hasn't that been happening for years? I thought police just turn up, they show their badges, they get into stuff.
Yeah, it's not the way it should work, and particularly when we've got areas where we're policing, and we obviously police the liquor industry, but what's particularly concerning is when you have these clubs that have got links back to outlaw motorcycle gangs, and again, we're seeing infiltration into some of these areas. And again, these type of places, they don't invite police in there because they like them. Generally, they want something, and often that's information. So, again, the piece around this is our members need to be mindful that they could be compromised at any time, and by putting themselves in a position where they're coming into contact with these type of people, they need to be alert to the fact that they could be compromised at any time.
Well, you're going to have to make sure your recruitment strategy is very tight, and then your background checks are very, very good.
Yeah, we are.
You've got the powers to do that. Just
before
I let you go there, just on the issue of kickbacks and favours that are being done, I mean, this is the kind of thing that police, in all sorts of ways that are not sinister, have to face every day. I mean, you yourself, and I'm not at all casting aspersions on you, but you've been offered free memberships of the MCC, for example.
And look, every weekend, every night of the week, I'm offered hospitality at particular events or sporting events.
So what do you do?
Look, some I accept, some where there's any likelihood of a conflict, I don't accept. Part of my job is, you know, connecting with all parts of the community, so it's important that I go to the events at the local level, at the state, as well as the events at the state level.
But how do you figure out where the conflict is? You have to police the whole community, so potentially anyone could be.
Yeah, well, I certainly have a process I go through, a written document I go through that to test my thinking and record my thinking, that from on an annual basis. My gifts and benefits register gets FOI'd, so I'm under no illusions that every time I go to an event or accept any type of hospitality that the community will be well aware of it, you know, in a very short time. So it's tricky. It is tricky, and it's, you know, whether you accept a cup of coffee from, you know, from the lady next door, or whether it's a half-priced hamburger from McDonald's, or whether it's a free entry into a licensed premises, our members need to be astute enough to, one, apply the policy, and secondly, determine whether they're going to be compromised by their actions.
Well, perhaps start with gyms and tattoo parlours and go from there. Kenley,
yep.
It's difficult. Thank you very much for speaking to us and putting it in some national context. That's the Chief Commissioner of Victoria Police, Kenley, speaking to us there on RN Drive.